is a presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And Monday through Friday, this time of the day, you will find me right here on 91.5 FM talking about the Word of God, how good He is, how faithful He is, and we are really, really thankful to be walking with Him through this life. Life is hard. Life without Jesus is even harder. And I'm so thankful that He is a faithful God. Holy Spirit called alongside to help. I'm very, very thankful for who He is. And so we want to welcome you today. We trust that you are enjoying the radio broadcast and the Word of God. We're not going to be reading all of Isaiah chapter 66 like we did yesterday. We're just going to be pretty much getting into it. We do want to let you know that we are going to be having our regular Wednesday night services tomorrow night. Our adult Bible study starts at 7 o'clock, runs to 7:45. Kids ministry, we start feeding kids at 6 o'clock. Classes start at 6:30, and then they run for about an hour and 15 minutes. We get out at 7:45, and this time of the year, you can still pretty much get home before dark. We're about a week away from the longest day in the northern hemisphere. More daylight during this time of year than anything. It's really great because, you know, if you have a busy daytime schedule like I do, then you can still get home and have dinner, relax a little bit, and then the temperature's dropped. And if it's not raining, you can go out and mow your grass and you don't have to do it in the heat of the day. So, I like that, and who knows, one of these evenings I might even actually get out and play a round of golf, but a great time of the year, great to live in Florida, and we are so thankful for everything that God has blessed us with in our life. So if you get a chance to come out and visit us with one of our services, we would more than welcome you to do so. We have seats available, and we look forward to what God is doing as we are now into our 66th year of ministry at Merritt Assembly of God. I haven't been there for all of those. I've been there for about 24 and a half of them. And we're believing God for even greater things in the days to come. Let's get back to Isaiah 66, where we were yesterday. And verse number 1 says this: "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and he who trembles at my word." So we're going to stop right there, and we'll drop down and touch on some other verses here a little bit later. But I want to tell you that God tells us in verse number 2 that in all of his creation, the one that he is looking for is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, who is of a poor and contrite spirit. Now, if you will turn over to Matthew chapter 5, you will find Jesus discussing the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, and it says, in verse number 1, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know this is not talking about financial poverty. This is not talking about those who have an inferiority complex. This is talking about people who have realized that without God, they are spiritually bankrupt. And so when you read in Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 17, it says to the church, this is written to the church of the Laodiceans, And it says, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, you don't realize that apart from me, you are bankrupt. Paul writes to the Galatians and he tells them, hey, having begun in the spirit, are you now trying to complete your life in the works of the flesh? That doesn't work that way. We needed the Spirit of God at the beginning. We needed Jesus as our Savior at the beginning. We need him in the middle. We need him at the end. I need him just as much now after having been saved for going on 5 decades now. I need him just as much today as I needed him then. Never, ever forget. You know, I'm sure that a lot of people who are listening to this radio broadcast have been Christians for a long, long time. Never forget that you need him just as much today as the day that he brought you out of sin. We need him just as much to keep us as we needed him to deliver us and to place us in his kingdom strategically. You need him, I need him. And he says, if I can find a person who is, listen, one of the 7 deadly sins it's talked about on 2 different occasions in the list is pride and a person with a haughty spirit. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so if you and I would realize the grace of humility, we live in a world that celebrates audacity. We live in a world that celebrates arrogance and just extravagance, things that are over the top. But God has a flipped value system to the world. Where when Samuel went to anoint a new king over Israel, he thought that when he saw Jesse's oldest son, that because of his handsome appearance and stature, that was the one. And God said, no, 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 no. I don't look on the outward appearance. I look at the heart. So I want to ask us today as we begin this, and God says, this is what I'm looking for. I'm searching for a person who is going to build their life with a poor and contrite spirit, knowing that that sin grieves me. Okay? Sin is not an act. Sin is our nature. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners in need of a Savior. And so today, you cannot clean yourself up enough to say, you know, I had a number of people say, you know, once I get my life straightened out, then I'll come to church. Doesn't work that way. We need Jesus to do the cleansing for us. I am not afraid to get dirty. I have done all sorts of jobs. Probably my least favorite job of all time was hauling hay when I was a teenager, because I was so little, they would send me all the way up in Oklahoma. It would be 100 plus degrees outside. And that didn't mean that you didn't haul hay. It just meant that it was really, really hot when you did. And I was the smallest, so I could get all the way up into the top of the barn and they could throw the bales up there to me, and then I could position them where they were. And so there is nothing better in this life than being in the top of a metal building when it's 100 plus degrees outside, and then you are dealing with dead bundled grass that is extra hot, and you are blocking off your airflow as you do it. There is just not many better jobs on the planet than that. So I'm not afraid to get dirty, but I have found that whenever I work on a car, that I'm going to get grease in places that I can't even reach. I don't even know how I get grease there. If I've worked on a roof, I end up having to have somebody that says, you know what? I can't tell. Do I have something that is undesirable on my body in places that I can't see? And so I need external perspective in order to make sure that after doing any of those jobs that I get all of the dirt, all of the grease, or all of the tar off of my physical body so that I can be presentable to be able to come into the house. I remember that when my parents had a paper route, it covered 52 miles. We did it morning and evening. On Sunday, we delivered 1,000 newspapers. It was a big, big paper route back in the day. We had two vehicles or sometimes three vehicles that would do it. And the vehicle that I threw papers in was a 1967 GMC pickup truck, manual transmission, three on the column, three speed on the column. And so I got to be okay at driving that and throwing papers and turning and folding and all of that sort of stuff. But I had a tendency to ride the clutch. And so my dad said, you wore the clutch out, you've got to replace it, or the clutch plate. He said, you wore the clutch plate out, you've got to replace it. Well, I don't know how to replace it. He said, well, you get down there and your grandfather and I, we're going to coach you. And so I got down there and we replaced it. That was back when vehicles were simple enough. 1967 vehicles were simple enough that you could pretty much get down inside and change out the whole engine if you wanted to, but I was underneath, and when I got out, I was covered from head to toe in all sorts of automotive fluids. And so when I went to go into the house, my mother said, oh no, you're not coming in here with that. And she made me stay outside. It was October, and Oklahoma at that point in time is already dropping into the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And she said, no, you're not coming in. Well, guess what? There was no hot water out there. And so she said, you got to get all that stuff off of you before you're coming into my house. And it wasn't even a fancy house. She said, but I live here and you're not bringing that stuff in here. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any pride. I've got news for you. When we get to heaven, there's nobody going to be going around bumping their chest and pounding their chest and say, aha, I was right theologically and you were wrong. You know what you're going to find? When you get to heaven, you're going to see a whole lot of people who have crowns on their head for the things they accomplished for Jesus, and they're going to be casting them at his feet because they realize that they couldn't do anything without him. There are going to be people who are just so thankful that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my rest. You see, God says, you're not getting into my house with sin, and you're not getting into my house with pride. God opposes pride. He gives grace to the humble. If you want to set yourself up to receive blessing, then I pray that humility would become a part of our life. You see, I don't go into any meeting feeling arrogant about myself because I don't feel like I have anything to be arrogant about. All I have has been given to me by the grace of God. There was a lot of hard work involved, but I can share some things that God taught me. And one of those things is about being a giver. Giving transformed Merit Assembly of God. Not other people's giving to Merit Assembly of God transformed us, but when we had adopted the attitude of liberal giving so that others could know as a church, it has revolutionized Merit Assembly of God. So, There are a few lessons that I've learned in my 24 and a half years of being there that I will be happy to share. But, you know, I've had people say, hey, is it okay if I share this? And it's like, you know what? It was free when God gave it to me. Take it, run with it, share it. I tell people at church, if you hear something good in the message, share it. If you hear something good on the radio program, Would you be so kind as to share it? It's not just meant for 8:30 and 10:30 and 5 o'clock of an evening and to be one and done. Whatever you hear, if you hear something good, take it and share it, because God is still looking for people who have a poor and contrite spirit. And he says, I'm looking for people who will tremble at my word. You know, we don't really appreciate the culture that this passage was meant to be. He is the King of all kings. He is the maker of all that is. And when he speaks with all authority in heaven and on earth. And his word will not miss its mark. When God says there is a blessing, you can expect that if you do what God tells you, that there is a blessing at the end. And if he tells you that if you violate his principles and there is a consequence, you can trust that God is just as faithful for the consequence as he is for the blessing. A lot of people don't want to hear that. A lot of people think that God's word doesn't mean what it says, but I'm telling you that it does. Last week, I think it was last week, I read where a national church said, "We do not disagree that the Bible says this, but we are going to disregard what the Bible has to say about that." That is a church that is not trembling at his word. I want to share this with you. This is a personal perspective. But through the years, I have found that if there is anybody who is willing to cling to and try and defend a certain action and trying to explain away Bible verses, instead of looking at those Bible verses as the authoritative, inerrant word of God, that there is probably a stronghold in their life that they are trying to defend rather than submitting it to God. And there can be a lot of those things. You know, right now the world is beating up on the church pretty good because we have one of the largest segments of obese people in our country. One of the largest subsegments of obese people are in church. We happen to like to fellowship. And when you fellowship, you have food and you bring comfort food. If you're going to have a potluck dinner, you don't bring the dish that other people might not like. You're going to bring your comfort food. And so we end up having all these fellowships, and sometimes we have so many meetings that we don't get to actually get out into our community and interact with them. And so I trust me when I say this, God's word is not going to be mocked. And so if there's an area in your life that you struggle with, find out what God's word has to say about it. You know, if you are struggling with debt commitments, the Bible says, do everything you can to extricate yourself from that situation as soon as you can. It says to flee sexual immorality. You know, there are all sorts of things that the Word of God addresses, and we need to make sure that we don't diminish the Word of God, but we tremble at it and say, God, your Word is a holy Word. It knows. It pierces the thoughts and intents of my life. It pierces the joints and the marrow. God, your word is settled forever in heaven and on earth. So I don't know about you, but when I hear that there is going to come a day when the eastern sky is parted and the dead in Christ shall rise, and they which are alive and remain, that they will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, that day is going to come as a thief in the night. Those things cause me to say, you know what? God's word is true. There are people who look at God's word in as it relates to ancient history, and they say, there is no way that God's word can be that accurate, so somebody must have tinkered with it. I want you to know that God's timeline is very much, in Isaiah chapter 66, he talks about the restoration of Israel as a nation and Jerusalem being a source of joy. He talks about that. And this is hundreds of years before Christ was born. And he's already talking about people coming back and they hadn't even left yet. So tremble at God's word. God knows what he's talking about. Don't be arrogant enough to think that you have a special dispensation from God. I can't tell you how many times I've encountered that. There are no special dispensations. There are no private loopholes. Okay? Just because you're engaged, one of the favorite things that is out there right now is that a person wrote this and said, boyfriends don't get husband privileges. And I was like, yes, I like that. Boyfriends don't get husband privileges. Girlfriends don't get wife privileges. And so stop looking for special loopholes just because it's a weakness in your life. Say, God, may your word fortify this area in my life. Let's move on. Verse number 3 says, just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations. Okay? And so verse number 4 concludes, and chose that which I do not delight. So there is a contrast of whether it's something we like or something God likes. Okay? And God said, these people have made it very clear that they are going to delight in things that I do not delight in. Okay? I want you to understand that this is not just a preference. There are, in every person's life, there are those things which are absolute. There are convictions which they feel very strongly about, but there might be just a little bit of area where they're not absolute about. And then there are preferences. Preference is just, you know, people tell me all the time, well, I don't like this particular thing. I said, well, that's why Baskin Robbins makes 31 flavors of ice cream, or however many different flavors there are now, is because people's taste buds are all different. Things, you know, my mother grew up loving butter pecan ice cream. I like pecans and I like butter, but I don't necessarily care for butter pecan. I like Pepsi. She liked cream soda. I don't know if she's had one of those, but you know, I think that they put some of those in the Little League coolers all the time just to make sure that she got one, because she knew that none of the kids were going to choose that. We're not talking about taste bud preferences. God delights in those things that are, he has declared in his word. He tells us flat out. He said, these are things that I like. These are things that please me. These are things that don't please me, and they are an abomination to me. So he said, these people who are sacrificing in a manner that is not pleasing to me, and they have intentionally chosen their own way, and their soul delights in their abomination. There are people who are proud of their sin. Now, I can tell you from experience of personal sin, there's none of that I am proud of. I intentionally choose not to forget the things that God delivered me from, so that I will continue to minister to others in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has God forgotten them? Has he wiped them out? Has he cleansed them? Yes. But I will tell you this. I have taken intentional steps in my life so that areas that I have failed in the past, I don't fail in the present. I don't justify them. I don't boast about them. I don't brag about them. And I certainly do not parade them around. We have a serious, serious sin problem. And listen, the word abomination is not something to be taken lightly. The basic principle is it is something that is nauseating, that it is so displeasing that it has got to be expelled from the body. How's that for a pretty sanitized but graphic picture? It's something that if ingested, it has got to be rejected immediately. It's an abomination. You know, there are some things that that people are allergic to. And so you know what they do? They don't partake of those things. They said, that is something that my body cannot tolerate. And if we would realize that we serve a holy God, that without holiness, no one can see God, we would make different choices. How many of you listening to this radio program right now wish that you could go back and make some different choices? Okay. The truth of the matter is you can't go back and undo the choices and the actions that we've made in the past. We can simply bring them to the cross, ask Jesus to forgive them, and then ask him to empower us with the truth so that we make different choices now. Don't ever intentionally choose sin. I can mess up by accident enough on my own. I don't need to be helping the devil out with his job. I need to ask God to renew my mind like the mind of Christ so that I am transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I make better choices. Every day you have a gazillion choices to make. You have the choice of whether or not you're going to brush your teeth. Please do. You have a choice of how you are going to take care of your personal hygiene issues. Please do that. What you're going to wear. Please do that. Your priorities in life. I encourage you. Ask God, God, would you equip me to make better choices? He said, because of the choices they make, I'm going to choose their delusions as well. And as a result, they're going to have a whole different reality. Listen, we don't have enough time to get into that today. We're going to stop at the end of verse number 3, and we'll pick that up on the next broadcast. But can I pray with you today? You see, the devil wants to keep us ignorant of God's word so that we continue to make bad choices. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I my word abides in you, then you will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So we need the word of God. Why are we studying the word of God? So that the word of God, the word of truth, will set us free. That it will reside in us so that we can make better choices. Father, I pray for every person that's listening to this broadcast right now. Lord, they made a choice to listen to this broadcast. I thank you for that. I pray, God, that you would equip us with the truth of your word so that we would continue to make choices that please and delight you rather than being something that offends you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.